If you want to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 34, I've got a lot of scripture that we'll be reading today. And so if you got your Bibles, a lot of them I have you turn to, a lot of it you won't have to, but you might have Molly and the kids want to go to junior church. Can be dismissed at this time. Haley, you want to go and miss a storm? Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 34. Verse 16. I'm going to just be looking at one verse here and then I'll read Romans 8:21. Jeremiah 34:16 says this. But ye turned and polluted my name and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection, to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. In Romans chapter 8, verse 21, it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct this message, that everything that's said and done will be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now that we might get something out of this that we can use for our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Title of this morning's message, yes, ma'am.
Bring it up a little bit.
Crank her up just a little bit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that better? Okay, good. Can you hear me now? All right. Just like Verizon, amen?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. With this, the title of this morning's message is Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. With this being Independence Weekend or 4th of July weekend, I thought it would only be fitting to bring a patriotic message this morning. And that's one of the reasons why I had Brother William read the famous speech by Patrick Henry. The speech that he read 2 years ago, there was a student from another school at regionals that in his famous speeches did that speech, word perfect. And he put emphasis in it. He was dressed in that year or, you know, that time period dress and stuff. And I mean, he got a standing ovation. I mean, it was so good that it was unbelievable. But, I think many times in the period of time that we live in today, that we no longer have the thankfulness that we should for what our forefathers have done for this country. Our public schools no longer teach American history and teach how this great nation that we live in was given and the freedoms that we had from, that we received from England and from France. You know, how this nation had fought one of the bloodiest wars ever to be fought on the soils, the Civil War. How this country went to war and fought in the First World War, Second World War. How we fought in the Korean conflict. How the Vietnam War. And now the Iraqi and Afghanistan wars. Freedom or liberty has always come at a price. Most of the time it comes at the price of someone's life. You know, the men and women who penned out our Constitution and signed the Declaration of Independence, many of them lost their lives because they did that. Many of them lost their families. Many of them lost all of their wealth. Many of them lost everything that they had because they stood up for liberty. They wanted to be free. They wanted a country that they could come and have freedom of a religion. They wanted a country they could come and have freedom of speech. They wanted a country that was different than what they had in England. Because of their stand, you and I enjoy the freedom every day that we have. But freedom comes at a price. You know, many people today want to come to our country because of our freedoms. They want to come here because of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. But they don't know how these freedoms came. In fact, most of the kids in our schools today have no idea, none, zero, what it took for the America that we live in today to have the freedoms that we do. If you take and you talk to kids on the street, you can ask them how the Declaration of Independence was written, and not one of them will be able to tell you. If you can ask them one signer of the Declaration of Independence, they might remember John Hancock, but that's all they'll ever remember. And that was because he wrote his name large enough so that the King of England knew who he was. But listen, what we need to realize is we need to teach our kids, we need to teach the generation that's coming up how our freedoms and our liberty actually came about. I want to look for a little while this morning at liberty and what it means to be liberated from something. We have liberty from the law. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." You know, this is not speaking of the law, "Thou shalt not speed, thou shalt not shoot off fireworks at any time you want." It's not that law whatsoever that this is talking about. This is not talking about man's law, but it's talking about God's law. You know, the law that this is talking about is the Mosaic law, or the Mosaic covenant, if you wish, given to Moses for the people of Israel to follow, to be righteous before God. Who can tell me how many laws there were? Oh, not 10? 613 to be exact. I counted every one of them. No, I didn't. 613 laws that were given to Moses that the children of Israel had to follow. You know, many times when we think of the law, we just think of the big 10, don't we? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, the 10 thou shalt nots. When we think of those and you look at it, how many of them are repeated in the New Testament? Come on, scholars! How many of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament? No. 9. 9 are. The only one isn't is to keep the Sabbath day holy. Why was that one not repeated in the New Testament? This is not in my message, by the way. Because Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. When he died on the cross, he took that away. All right. Here we see, though, once Christ died on the cross, we no longer are subject to all 613 of the laws which are given to Moses. We are now under the age of what? Grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, of the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." But what does this all mean? Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 3. What does it mean to be liberated from a law? You know, let's look at this. 613 laws that were given to Israel. 613 laws that they had to abide by every single day. 613 laws that they had to run their lives by. But what does it all mean? Romans chapter 3, starting verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested," or revealed openly, "being witnessed by the law, the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God hath set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood." to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which would believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Wow! I'll tell you what, that is some good stuff, amen? Listen, we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. You know, we no longer have to keep the whole law to have redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person tried to keep the whole law today, could you? Could you keep all 613 laws? I couldn't either. After all, James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." You know, I'm not talking about just the Ten Commandments. And believe me, the big ten are hard to keep too, aren't they? I'm talking about all 116 laws that were given to Moses. There's an awful lot of churches today, believe it or not, and religions, that feel that they need to keep the law. Well, you got to go to church on Saturday. After all, Saturday is a Sabbath day, right? And you can't eat pork, and you can't... I had a discussion one day with a man that went to one of these churches, and I said to him, I said, "Well, do you keep the whole law?" He said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, do you keep all 613 of the laws?" He says, "Well, no." I said, "So you're guilty of the whole law." And I said, "You're going to be judged under the law." And he looked at me and he says, "Huh? I read in that verse." I said, "Well, you've offended one of them, so you're guilty of the whole thing." I said, "I'm under grace. For by grace am I saved through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." I said, "That's what I'm saved by." I said, "I don't have to keep the law." Well then, why is there still a law if we are liberated from it? Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. I'm glad you guys are asking these questions today. Because you know what? That's what you need to do. You need to ask the preacher questions like that. That way you get your answers. Amen? I figured that. I figured it was bothering somebody. I really did. But why then are we still... You know, if we're liberated for the law, why is there still a law? Galatians 3, chapter 3, verses 21 and 24 says this. "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You know, it's by our faith which liberates us through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, which brings us salvation, not us keeping the law. None of us could keep the whole law. None of us. The second thing is this. We have liberty to preach. In Isaiah 61:1, it says this, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. God has given us liberty to preach the gospel message. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. But then, why do we need to preach the gospel message if we're under grace, right? We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. So why do we need to preach the gospel message? I am so glad that we have the freedom to preach the gospel message. But why do we have to do it? Why is it important that we preach the gospel message? If you got Romans chapter 10, starting verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Everyone deserves an opportunity to accept the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes from preaching, from telling others the good news of Jesus. You know, Romans 10, 13 to 15, those are the verses that called me to preach. I had read through my Bible three times in a year after the plane crash. And I kept coming to those verses, and the verses just popped out like a neon light every time I read them. So the third time I skipped them. No, I didn't. And God says, I want you to go and preach the good news. And that's how I became a preacher. That's what my calling was. You know, we're commanded, not only I am, but we are all commanded to go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say just go preacher. It says everybody. All of us have the same command to go and tell everyone about the good news of Jesus Christ. There's not one of us, not one of us, who does not have that obligation to do that. Everybody does. But what's the gospel message we're supposed to preach? We're all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. That there's a penalty for our sins. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we need to take and show them that Jesus paid their penalty. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. And then we need to accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. Romans 10:9 and 10 says that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou might be saved, right? No, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What else, though, is to be preached? Oh, we've got the gospel message now, don't we? We know what we're supposed to be preaching to everybody. We know that we need to take and show everybody that they're sinners. We need to show everybody that they're on their way to hell because they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. We know that, but what else should we preach? What else? Is that it? No, that's not it. All Scripture to be preached from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. There are many a preacher today who do not feel the Old Testament is important to today's life. And they will not, no way, no how, preach out of the Old Testament. Because that was given to Israel, and it's not for the New Testament church. Well, I'm sorry to pop their bubble, but my Bible says this. I don't know about yours. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The verse does not say only some of the Scripture or only the New Testament or anything like that. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all of us. Every one of us sitting in here today, everything from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, is all profitable. We, in this great land that we live in, have the freedom to preach the Word of God. We have the freedom to tell others about the Word of God. And this is one of our liberties given to us in our Constitution. The freedom of religion. You know, there's an awful lot of countries today that you cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's an awful lot of lands today that people don't even have a Bible. I heard a story one time told by an evangelist. He had been in a country, I can't remember what country he was in now. He was there doing a crusade or an evangelistic conference. And every night after the conference, a little girl came up to him and said, can I carry your Bible to your car for you? And he said, sure. And he handed her his Bible. And she carried it like this, all the way to the car. Handed it to him. This went on for 5 nights. Every night she came to him. Can I carry your Bible to the car for you? So the last night, he looked at her and he says, well, why is it every night you wanted to carry my Bible to the car? She said, this is the first time I've ever been able to hold the whole Bible all at one time. He says, what do you mean? He says, we have 60 different families in our village. We have one Bible. And she says, we've torn out the different books of the Bible. And we take a book a week to each family. And it gets passed around that way in our village. We don't have any Bibles. This is the first time I've ever held a whole Bible. He says, it broke my heart. And he says, you know how evangelists are with their Bibles. You don't ever want to get rid of them. I looked at this little girl and I said, now you have one of your own. He says, I went back home and he says, it just broke my heart. He says, I wrote the missionary that I was there and I said, I'm sending you 5,000 Bibles. They'll be there next week. Make sure that 60 of them go to this village. Man. I mean, it's unbelievable. Listen, we have got the freedom in this country to read God's Word anytime we want. And yet we don't do it. We don't do it. We're too busy texting. We're too busy watching TV. We're too busy talking on the phone. Listen, we get so busy doing absolutely nothing that we forget about God's Word and what it means to us. We need to take and be in God's Word and read it. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Listen, we are to preach the word, for it will change a person's lifestyle. You know, I can't tell people enough that they need to be in God's word if they want to have their life changed. The third thing is this, is liberty from bondage. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Romans 6:18 says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Romans 8:21 says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." The very moment that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are free from the bondage of sin. Amen? All of our sins are remembered no more. In Hebrews 8:12, it says, "For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember always?" No, no more. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The minute we get saved, they're gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I'll tell you what, God has promised to forgive our sins if we'll only ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, I've been asked this question many times. If God has rescued me and given me the liberty from my sins, why is it that people can't forgive me? Amen? If I've asked God to forgive my sins, why is it people can't forgive the things that I've done wrong? You know, that's a $50,000 question, and I really don't have the answer. Maybe it's a heart thing. Maybe people don't have their hearts right with God. Patrick Henry and our forefathers were willing to go to war. They were willing to die for what they believed in. They wanted freedom. They wanted liberty. And they were willing to die for that liberty. They wanted a new life with new freedoms from the crown. Liberty to worship as they pleased. They were willing to sacrifice the ultimate price so their children's children, could have the liberty that they deserved to have. Many of those brave men and women lost lives, homes, families. They gave us liberty, which we now have. This 4th of July weekend, we need to remember the price that was paid for our liberty. We need to remember the ultimate price that was paid on that cross so that we have liberty from sin. You know, the Lord Jesus dying on the cross so that we could be liberated from all of our sin. By putting our hope and trust and faith in Him, listen, if it was not for what He did, where would we be today? You know, as we celebrate our country's independence this week, we also need to celebrate our independence from sin. We've been given the liberty from the law. We've been given the liberty to preach. And we've been given liberty from our bondage. If you're here today and you're not sure right now, if you were to die, where would you spend eternity? You need to get that done today. You need to find out today where you can spend eternity. Liberty comes at a price. Our forefathers gave the ultimate price that you and I can have freedom as we do. Our Savior gave the ultimate price so that we can have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. I just thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I just pray, Father, that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. Father, we love you. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. I just pray now that as we have this invitation, that you'll speak to the hearts. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, if you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I know I've been liberated. We live in a land that's free. We have many freedoms. But you know, I don't know for sure if I've been liberated from all my sins. I can't remember a time or a place where I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. Would you pray for me today? Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Anybody at all? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I am so thankful that I'm saved, that I live in a country that's free. I'm so thankful that I don't live in a country where I have to worry about going to jail for reading my Bible, for preaching. With an uplifted hand, I'm going to thank God this week for our great nation. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand. I'm going to thank God this week for the great country we live in. Yes, hands all over. God bless you. God bless you. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us. Those that have raised their hand, I just pray that they would pray this week and thank you so much for the freedoms we have. And they remember to pray for our president, vice president, our congressmen and senators, Lord, that this land can always be a land of the free and the home of the brave. Be with us now, I pray. We'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn to hymn number 164. I changed the hymn 164.